I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of The Memo for this Thursday, February 18th, 2016. Brad Locke here with you, and W. Derek Russell not here with you. So that's too bad, but hey, you know what? You get a big old dose of M. Scott Morris
today. And you flip the W over and you get an M, and then the rest, there's no comparison. It's just Scott Morris.
Yeah, just Scott Morris.
Just Scott Morris.
I'll call you M. Scott.
Just.
How you doing, Scott?
I'm doing just fine. It's Thursday. It's almost Friday. That means it's almost Saturday.
Thanks for filling in again. Second time to host. Are you feeling the groove now?
You know, I'm nervous. I'm hoping that I can live up to the standard that you fine broadcasters have done over the years. You set such a high bar that I'm not sure I can reach it, but I'm just honored and privileged to have a chance to sit in this chair and be amongst you good people.
Your tongue is kind of stuck in your cheek there. I noticed maybe it doesn't help getting it. Yeah, okay. We got a good show today. Scott's going to help me steer this thing between the lines. We've got Emma Kent coming on to talk about some absenteeism issues, dropouts, that sort of thing. We've got Zach Orsborn talking about this issue up in Flint, Michigan, the water problem they're having, getting some help from people down here. Ray Van Dusen of the Monroe Journal is going to talk with us about this local guy on American Idol. Been doing pretty well. And Scott, it is Thursday, so I guess that means we get to have your movie review, huh?
I have plenty of foul language to use when discussing Deadpool.
But unfortunately, you can't use it.
Well, there is that, but he does.
Right.
It's an R-rated superhero movie, not your grandmother's superhero movie, unless she's a crass individual.
Well, you're going to have to fill me in on that, because I'm not really, before the movie came out, I didn't even know what Deadpool was, so I guess that's my bad for not being cultured. So anyway, we'll have that, but we'll get to that later, Scott.
Yeah, that's later. I don't want to jump the gun.
No, certainly not. Chris Kiefer is here, too, by the way, our producer.
Just chomping at the bit, wanting to say something.
Our producer / lesser god, as we noted yesterday.
No. You get me in trouble.
How's it going?
Good. Your hair's not spiky today.
No, I got to go get it cut, so I don't want to put a bunch of junk in it.
Okay.
Product. So, they call that product.
Product, yeah. Gunk, whatever.
I was just trying to figure out. It's like something looks different about Brad, and it's like, oh, his hair's not spiky.
Yeah, no, I didn't do anything with it. All right. Woke up and it looked like this, and I was like, whoa. It didn't look like I didn't have bedhead. It's unusual.
Yeah, you woke up with hat head.
It's not hat head. It's just
some grooves.
Yeah, I don't even wear hats anymore.
Oh, okay. Well,
so. But yeah, I got to get it. It's getting long, so I got to get it cut.
It does look long.
I did trim up the mustache a little bit last night. Not as, quite as long as it was. My wife still hates it.
So does Derek.
Yeah. But hey, you know what? I went by Cafe T12 this morning, and Amanda Hayden, co-owner, you know, her husband Jason, that they helped organize the mustache bash, and she told me she liked it. So I think that pretty much settles the issue.
There you go.
Yeah, she's a woman of distinction.
She's the mustache bash queen, pretty much, for all intents and purposes.
She can put that on her resume.
She's a mustache expert.
Yes. So
guru.
If Amanda Hayden likes it, everybody, all your other haters, just go take your mustache hate somewhere else, okay? Just keep it to yourself. Issue settled. If Derek were here, but he's not, so I'll have to bring this up with him next week, Monday, I guess.
Well, Derek has a kind of evil goatee, doesn't he?
He's just got a beard.
Oh, a beard. He seems like he should have an evil goatee.
He does.
I mean, he should be kind of, he's kind of a maniacal individual, and he should probably have a goatee. I mean, he's a director, right? He directs plays. They have to be maniacal, don't they?
Pretty much. He should be half crazy.
Yeah.
He throws chairs at people.
Well, see, that's...
Kids.
But that's...
Kids.
Well, yeah, but that's expected. I mean, if you're going to be in a play, you expect abuse. Just like if you're going to come on The Memo, I expect abuse.
No, I think you could sport a stash there, Scott.
I don't know, man.
I mean, you got a nice full head of hair, so I'm thinking you could probably get a full stash going.
It'll be gray, just be more gray, and I think I may just...
be fine. Be kind of the Sam Elliott look.
There you go. The banquet beer.
Nice. Okay. Well, hey, we've got a good show today, so we're going to jump into it right now. Hey, Emma Kent's here. Hey, Emma Kent.
Hey, Brad.
How's it going, Emma Kent?
It's good.
I'm just nailing it every time I say your name now.
You are proving a point.
There's no more Emma Crawford slip-ups here. It's Emma Kent.
Which is a great newspaper last name. I'm sure you all have already covered that.
I guess, I don't know, have we? Clark Kent, Emma Kent?
I've never heard that one before.
No?
Oh, really?
So it sounds like I need to make this podcast great again. Clark Kent, Emma
like,
Kent.
You've been married like 4 months. How often could you have heard it?
I heard it literally on Tuesday, when I was at Tupelo High School to cover the Black History Program.
Oh, okay.
I was, they have that little security hut when you drive in, and the guy there came out and was like, what's your name? Da, da, da. And I was like, oh, Emma Kent. And he said, oh, have a good day, Clark. And he laughed, and he thought it was, and it is funny, I guess, but I was like,
it is funny to us.
I was like, man, haven't heard that.
but after about 100 or so more times, he'll get funny again. Just write it out.
Really, it doesn't matter if it's funny to you. It's as long as it makes someone else laugh.
That's all. Yeah, it breaks the ice. You gave that guy a fine day. The guy got to laugh for the day. You don't know what else he has to deal with throughout the day. Just sitting there checking people in.
Later on, he's going to think back to that reporter. He's like, ha, Clark.
Might have been the highlight of his day.
Boy, that made my day. So anyway. How you doing, Emma
anyway,
Kent?
I'm good. How are y'all?
Fantastic. Could be Kent State. They had a massacre there years ago.
Thank you, Scott.
Sure.
So see? Yeah. Clark Kent, much preferable comparison.
It's true. I'll take that one.
Hey, you had a story in the paper today.
I did.
You write stories for a living, so imagine that. They had this dropout prevention summit hosted by the Create Foundation on Wednesday, addressing the absenteeism problem, which is a problem in Mississippi and in the region. Had a lot of educators gather. What was kind of the focus? I guess the focus is to figure out how to reduce absenteeism. What was kind of the theme yesterday?
Well, they're talking about how to prevent dropouts, high school dropouts. And so, they kind of focused on, they talked about absenteeism, chronic absenteeism, for a little while, and just kind of what that means and why it's an issue. And it's an issue because if you don't go to school, you're probably not interested, and then you're probably going to drop out. So they had several people kind of presented things that they think, help engage kids or might be helpful for other districts, to take back and try to keep their kids interested in school and that kind of thing. Because, to keep kids in school, they have to be interested in school, which is hard.
I was very impressed by the numbers here, that you have more than 40,000 students, Mississippi students, entering the ninth grade and only 26,000 who graduate the 12th grade, who enroll in the 12th grade.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a shocking decline over a period of time when people are growing from children to adults, and people are dropping out at that time.
Yeah, it's a lot of people, that are unaccounted for. You're like, what happened to those 14,000 or however many people, that dropped out in that time period? So they brought in some speakers from several different organizations and school districts. Dr. Lee Childress, who's the superintendent in Corinth, they've been doing some really innovative things up there, just some initiatives they've been working on, a literacy program. This one, I thought this is really cool. He told us about this program they've got up there where they mail a book to it's kids, young kids, from birth to kindergarten.
Yeah.
And they mail a book out once a month to those families for the parents to read at home with the kids. So they're providing the book and getting it straight to them, which is really neat.
So we're tackling a high school problem in preschool.
Right. And that's kind of the idea is you got to start at the beginning and get kids to see why school's important from the time that they start school so that they stay the whole time and that they make it all the way through. So it was interesting to see the scope that they think about. It's the whole thing.
One of the people in your story that you talked about, it's not just the problem for these 14,000 kids who disappear.
Right.
They paint it as a Mississippi problem. How is it an economic problem for Mississippi?
Well, the less people you have who graduate from high school, then you're going to have less people probably who go to college or who are qualified to work or have the skills to boost the economy. You need skilled workers. You need people who are educated to...
It's kind of interesting to think that these people who are making decisions about their lives in high school are kind of affecting the quality of life for everybody in Mississippi.
Yeah.
And you see it as a much bigger... You see why they're having this summit.
Yeah.
It's a problem that kind of affects Mississippi's growth and its future.
Yeah, I mean, it's a domino effect. It's kind of weird. It's like a big circle.
If these kids would stay in school, I could be making more money in 5 years.
That's true, kids.
It's possible.
Stay in school so Scott can make more money.
or I should be more. I should care more about this, and everybody else should care more about this because we actually have a stake in what's going on. Even if you don't have any kids in the high school right now, or if your kids are going through school and others are dropping out,
right?
It still matters as far as the state's future is concerned. At least Create was arguing yesterday.
Yeah, I mean it's much more than just affecting that one kid who dropped out and maybe won't have as good of a life as he could have had if he had finished high school. I mean, that's important, but it is bigger than that.
That would be what would be important if our dropout percentage was like 1% as opposed to the percent we have now.
Right.
Then now it becomes a problem that affects the future of the state.
Yeah, so a ripple effect. And for those wondering, the chronic absenteeism rate is defined as the percentage of children who miss 10% or more of school days during the school year. I mean, it's pretty simple logic. If you miss too much school, you're not going to do well, and you'll probably eventually just not go at all.
Not go, yeah.
And so, but I guess high school, Scott mentioned the high school numbers. I guess that's kind of when the dropout thing becomes a problem.
Right.
I don't know if maybe the chronic absenteeism is a problem before that grade, but probably more so in high school when kids have a little more, I guess, freedom.
Yeah. I mean, I got a whole packet of information, and they have the absenteeism rates, chronic absenteeism rates, like by school in the region.
Right.
And they're significantly higher for high school kids. Sure. I mean, the elementary schools are pretty low, but the high schools are all a lot higher. And I mean, I think that's true because kids can drive, they can leave school, you know, they can they have more freedom.
They're rebellious,
yeah.
But you know what? But there's a variety of reasons in that. I mean, there's some you would think that there's some, we can like name some reasons that we might suggest would apply to many. But I had a friend of mine when I was in school who dropped out because he witnessed somebody else commit a felony, and that fellow classmate of ours just bullied my friend until he said it wasn't worth it. Huh. And he went and got his GED and moved on. But there are a lot of different factors that play in.
Yeah.
I mean, we can name some that we, off the top of our heads, that we'll think are likely like drug abuse and other things like that. But then there's also other situations we're maybe not aware of that affect a kid's ability to stay in school.
Right. And there was there's a study that was done by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and they talked about this. Lewis Whitfield kind of hit some points from it yesterday during his presentation, and he said, I think it's called The Silent Epidemic is the name of the study, but it's about high school dropouts, and it's trying to remember when it was done. I mean, it's not super current, but I think the information is still pretty relevant.
Yeah, yeah.
And they had interviewed a lot of high school dropouts and kind of asked them why they decided to drop out. And a lot of them said that, you know, number one, they didn't think school was like relevant. They were like, well, I didn't see why I was there, you know?
Yeah.
Couldn't make that connection. But then another reason that a lot of them said was like just feeling like school was a good environment, like safety and just feeling okay at school, being feeling like it was a safe place, which I thought was kind of interesting. And that kind of goes to what Scott said, you know, and they even said like more structure would be good or better discipline. And that's kind of surprising to me coming from kids. But I mean, that kind of goes back to what you said, Scott.
Right.
Yeah. So it's interesting.
Yeah, it's an important issue, and y'all can read Emma's story in today's journal or at djournal.com. Emma Kent, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Need to remind y'all of a couple of our sports podcasts you can listen to. We've got Prep Rally, high school sports podcast with myself and Gene Phelps, airs every Wednesday. So we got a new episode up right now. You can listen on iTunes, your podcast app, or at preprally.djournal.com. And today, we're going to have a new episode of Double Coverage, Ole Miss and Mississippi State Sports Talk with Parrish Alford and Logan Lowry. Also, listen to that on iTunes, your podcast app, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com. Check him out. Got Zach Orsborn in here now.
How are you?
Easy for me to say. Zach Orsborn, how's it going?
There you go. Going good.
Good, good. I have a much easier time with Emma Kent.
Yeah, it's much easier than Orsborn.
And there's no superhero named Orsborn.
There's not. Not at all.
In the Spider-Man, there's Osborn.
Osborn. Just missing the villain.
Yeah.
Of course, it's the villain.
Yeah, it's an opportunity for you, Zach.
But he's a smart villain, so.
That's true. Okay. So anyway, Zach's in here to talk about this cool story. Some Tupelo residents trying to help out the folks in Flint, Michigan. Of course, they've had that water crisis up there for several weeks now. And basically a lot of high levels of lead in the drinking water, which is not good, right, as we know. So Zach, give us a little background on how this little effort came about. There's going to be like a concert to raise awareness. They're going to try to get to raise money for these people to have clean water.
Yeah. So Marcus McCoy, who's he's the director of Tupelo to Flint. He felt the need to kind of help out with the Flint, Michigan water crisis, and so he kind of gathered some people and he contacted the mayor, who kind of helped facilitate to get a venue and stuff like that. And what they want to do is they don't want to collect and distribute water. They want to raise funds to buy water from a place that they can ship.
Right.
So it kind of cuts down on costs so they can buy more water. And they're going to have the fundraiser on...
March 5th.
March 5th, yes.
It's going to be at the
Summit.
The Summit, right, right.
They're not sure. They're still trying to gather bands for that.
Okay.
And
Could Bradlock and the Paisley sign up?
Yes.
Say what?
They said they want anybody, any kind of band. I think it's going to be like a showcase, kind of. One of the board members, Melvin Blackman, her daughter lives in Flint.
Yeah.
And her daughter owns two daycare centers there. And the water crisis has really impacted her daughter a lot, because especially with the children and at home, because they have to drive like 10 miles to go take showers. And it's very inconvenient for them.
And they're getting like a case of water a day, each person or each family?
I think it's per family. They just get one case per day.
Which, when you're trying to cook and bathe and drink water, that goes pretty fast, I bet.
It goes super fast. This isn't in the story, but Melvin Blackman was telling me about how they have to go to the fire department first to, like, get the water. And it's just, like, they have to go out of their way to get, it, like, a basic human need pretty much.
I mean, this kind of issue with water is not something we usually have to deal with in this country. So this is... I'm sure. I can't imagine what it's like up there to have to deal with this. Is that? I mean, kind of. You know, you mentioned Marcus McCoy. He saw something on Facebook about it. Is that just kind of what struck a chord with him? Was just I can't imagine this happening.
He thought back to the Tupelo tornado in 2014, and he said any day could be here in Tupelo. Like when the storm hit in Tupelo, people all over, even if they didn't have any relatives here, came to help out. It's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Which kind of goes towards the Tupelo spirit thing. And he's done fundraisers before and he wanted to kind of step in on this one.
Okay. How can people help out if they want to get in on this Tupelo to Flint thing?
If they want to make a donation, you can contact Marcus McCoy at 662-491-0668, or you can visit Bank Plus and make the donation out to Tupelo to Flint.
Okay. Good stuff. Good cause, Zach. Appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.
Need to remind y'all to watch the Daily Journal's Capitol View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capitol Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated by Mississippi lawmakers. You can watch live each Monday afternoon around 2 o'clock or catch the replay later in the day. New episodes will be released as long as the legislature is in session. Time now for today's news memo, and for more on these stories, you can read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. A team of students at Morville Middle School won the grand prize in a statewide coding competition. The students created an interactive web-based application that highlighted tourist destinations in Tupelo, Jackson, and Vicksburg. They competed in the Kids Code Mississippi Innovation Month coding contest. Not only did Morville win first place, but they also won second place and an honorable mention. The students worked on the project for about 2 weeks under gifted teacher Stephanie Dutcher.
December retail activity yielded strong sales tax numbers for the region, with cities such as Tupelo and New Albany reporting record collection totals. Purchases that occurred in Tupelo during the month of December generated the city more than $2 million in sales tax. That was the third highest total in the state. For New Albany, that number was more than $300,000 in sales tax collections, according to reports released by the state.
The Mississippi House and Senate Education Committees approved legislation that would allow students to cross district lines to attend charter schools. The current law only allows students to attend a charter school that is located within their home school district. The change goes to the full House and Senate for more debate. Mississippi currently has two charter schools. They're both located in Jackson and have enrollments of about 110 students each.
More Mississippi third graders could be in danger of flunking for low reading skills if a bill passed by a House committee Tuesday becomes law. House Bill 51 would require third grade students to score above the two lowest scoring tiers on the state test, not just clear the lowest minimal level as is now required. The higher requirement would begin for current kindergartners who will be third graders in spring 2019. The bill moves to the full House for more debate. State Superintendent Carrie Wright has said she wants to raise required score because students must now score only at a basic level, meaning some can advance without reading proficiently.
And finally, traffic alert. Tupelo's Front Street will be closed at the Main Street intersection beginning Friday morning at 7. The street will be closed for both northbound and southbound traffic. Construction crews will be installing pedestrian crosswalks on both sides of Main Street until at least Wednesday of next week. Main Street will remain open.
Short films by local filmmakers will go head-to-head in the Daily Journal's first Entertain Us Movie Contest. The submissions are in, and now we need you to determine the winners. Voting will take place daily at djournal.com/entertainus. There will be one head-to-head contest each day, and winners will advance in a bracket-style competition. Voting is underway and lasts through March 6th. Watch the videos, choose your favorite, and be entertained. All right, we got Ray Van Dusen on the line from our paper down in Monroe County, the Monroe County Journal, and he's been following very closely the singing success of Trent Harmon from Amory. He's been competing in American Idol, and he's been making some waves on nationwide, hasn't he?
Absolutely. I mean, he's got a huge following here in Monroe County in North Mississippi, but he's definitely won over Jennifer Lopez's heart, no doubt about it.
Hey, and from your story I read, it sounds like he's trying to stay hungry. I mean, trying not to let the success like that go to his head.
He's always been a really grounded person. I got to know him probably about 2 years ago, and basically how you see him on TV is how he is in real life. And he's definitely not letting fame go to his head by anything.
And he's standing on the shoulders of giants with his cover of Elton John's Tiny Dancer.
And that was perfect timing, because the day after he performed that, Elton John had the impromptu concert in Europe and became a trending success across the internet. So Trent actually was really lucky with timing of that and got to ride that wave. So it was good timing, really good timing.
So I'm guessing there's some excitement in Amory about having their hometown boy do so well. Is he pretty much the only subject of water cooler conversations down there?
Yeah, he's definitely raised the bar. I think his popularity points have definitely swelled in Monroe County for sure. Pretty much every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I'm pretty much looking at my Facebook news feed, and I mean, that's what everybody's talking about. They're posting the hashtags dedicated to him. They're sharing videos and different stories that have been picked up about him. So that's definitely the talk of conversation in Monroe County.
So apparently one of his songs made it to number one in Yahoo Music's top 24. Could that all be due to people in Monroe County buying those songs?
I don't know. That's really interesting, no doubt about it. I mean, I think, you know, just kind of looking at some of the websites online, I mean, he's definitely starting to pick up a following outside of Monroe County.
Oh, fantastic.
I cannot remember the name of the website that I was looking at this morning, but it was one basically letting the public vote on their favorites from the top 24. And believe it or not, he's number one in the poll. So,
do you have a sense of how he's going to do? I mean, what's your prediction? You, as a newsman, I mean, or as an Amoryite, can you make a prediction?
I'm thinking he's going to go far, just judging by the celebrity judges' reactions and how they really swoon over him. and it looks pretty good. Last night he sang "Who Are You Listening To" by Chris Stapleton, and basically for the majority of the contestants in the show last night, most of the judges were really questioning their song pick. But I think that he really hit it out of the park, and Harry Connick Jr. was the only one with a little bit of criticism about his song choice. So tonight he's going to be performing with Jordan Sparks. So that should be really interesting to see how he shakes out.
So do you think they'll have to, like, boost the money for the Amory Railroad Festival to get him there next time?
I don't know if his schedule is going to allow the Railroad Festival this year or not, but I guarantee he could certainly be a headliner contingent for next year.
Ray, hey, thanks for calling in and keeping us up to date on this story. This is fun to know. When it's always fun when somebody local makes it big, isn't it?
Absolutely, and thank you guys so much for the Daily Journal support on this, too. And one thing, if I've got time, I'd love to throw in, you know, in talking with Trent, I mean, online interactions with him definitely helped him out. So his hashtags are actually Trenting, Team Trent, and Harmonies. So basically, the last interview that I did with him, he asked for people just to get familiar with his website on the American Idol website. So once it comes to these live shows, if he makes it that far, you want to get out there and vote.
So you said Team Trent, Harmonies, and then you say Trenting?
Trenting.
Like, as in trending, but Trenting.
That's correct.
Maybe he should be a headline writer if this doesn't work out. Well, Ray, thanks again. And so everybody, go to your hashtags, go to your Twitters, and give Trent Harmon some love.
Sounds good. Thank you guys for having me, too.
Need to remind y'all about Thrive Marketing, a full-service digital marketing company located in Tupelo, providing websites, search engine optimization, social media management, email and text messaging services for local businesses. Online at thrive.ms. Now, Emma Scott Morris, it is Thursday, so we got the movie review screen scene.
That's right.
And today, as we tease at the opening, talking about Deadpool.
Deadpool. Ryan Reynolds starring in this, and came out over the weekend, made $150 million.
Wasn't he the Green Lantern?
He was the Green Lantern.
So this is much better than that
Lantern
one.
Green Lantern did not make $150 million. In fact, all right, I don't know if you know much about the character Deadpool.
Zero.
I didn't really know much. He was kind of, Ryan Reynolds played him in an X-Men movie, X-Men Origins Wolverines, a while back, but it wasn't like the real Deadpool. He was a little bit smart talking, but he ended up like having his mouth closed over.
Which movie was that? Because I feel like I've seen all the X-Men.
I think it was the Wolverines Origins.
I thought I'd seen that movie, but I don't remember.
He was a soldier of fortune in that one.
Okay.
But yeah, it wasn't the actual Deadpool. After I saw the movie, I saw this report about kind of the Deadpool's history. He's always been an insane bad guy who happens to do good. And he just does one-liners right off the bat, one after the other. And in the comic books, he'll talk straight to the reader of the comic books, and he'll make comments about comic book tropes that are happening, like, well, now it'll be a time for the bad guy to show up, and the bad guy shows up kind of thing. Well, they carried that over into the movie. And like at one point in the very beginning, it's not giving too much away, but like you said, Ryan Reynolds was in Green Lantern. At one time, he says that they're going to take him away and make him a superhero, and he says, but no green outfits. <You know? laughs> And so makes mention of that. At one time years ago, Ryan Reynolds was People's Sexiest Man Alive. Well, that People cover is there in a scene. And so it's a very referential film, irreverent film. And a lot of language, naked people, sexual situations, violence. You know how most superheroes try not to kill people, but Deadpool doesn't consider himself a hero. He's a guy out for revenge, and he just happens to do good along the way. And so there's blood. Pretty much every foul language you want to use, all the favorite words are used. And,
don't take the kids is what you're saying.
Don't take the kids. R is R, people. If you do take the kids, put some money back for counseling later.
Yeah, yeah.
Fun movie though. If you don't mind, violence, you don't mind cuss words, you don't mind sexual situations.
The way you described it, and from the previews, I thought it looked like it might end up being cheesy, but
you know,
I guess they seem to pull it off.
It is a joke a second, and probably if you did like a if you did have a little counter in your hand, most of those jokes don't pay off. But it is just rapid fire and funny stuff. It just keeps going. And by the end of it, when it was over, I just wanted more. I wanted to go see the next one. I wanted the next one to start right then. It was a good flick. T.J. Miller plays one of his buddies, and you can tell that they were riffing on stuff. And just some really funny dialogue and good fight scenes. There you go.
How does he breathe in that mask? Because I mean, I guess a lot of superheroes have that issue, but
that wasn't covered. But apparently he has a situation where he has a mutation to where basically he can be hurt, he can be shot, he can be, but he grows back.
It's kind of like in Heroes.
Okay,
I guess that TV show.
Yeah,
you haven't seen Heroes? Like the cheerleader can like fall down off a cliff and break all her bones and heal almost immediately. And not die, and other.
That's people, you know, have what? That's probably a valuable skill for a cheerleader.
You would think so.
Because almost all of them have knee surgery, don't they?
Yeah, pretty much. Deadpool. Why is he called Deadpool? I'm just curious about that name. Is that something you just have to know if you know about the character? I assume they don't go into detail in the movie about
it. No, they actually explain it 100%. You want me to like do spoilers now?
Well, if there's a spoiler involved, don't tell me.
It's a fun moment. I'd rather not destroy.
So go see the movie if you want to know why it's called Deadpool.
I'll tell you off air.
Google it. You can do that.
I had read the other stuff about Green Lantern and about the stuff. I didn't mind saying that because that was put out there, but. Yeah, you know, the Deadpool thing. In fact, though, it hints at it. And so I think that early on in the film, and so when it happens, it's a nice little payoff moment. So I'd rather not ruin that for anybody. I'll ruin it for you later on.
No, please don't. I hate spoilers. Hate them. Yeah. Okay. So you gave it an A.
Give it an A. And Kelly Carlson gave it an A. She's my review partner on Wizard 106. And she and I seldom agree. And when we do agree, we keep an eye out on the horizon for storms. For catastrophic, for plagues, for earthquakes. If something were to happen, it's because of Deadpool entertained Kelly and I equally.
Yeah, she said, quote, I hurt from laughing. Yeah. So there you go.
A lot of laughing going on. And interestingly told in flashback, so you start kind of in the middle of the film, and then you go backwards for flashbacks. It's easy to follow. It works wonderfully.
Okay.
And some really nice scenes.
Well, you can read the review in today's journal or at djournal.com in the scenes section. Good show, M. Scott.
Hey, man, I'm just so glad that I know that we can't equal the level that you and Derek bring the memo to each and every time, but I am so glad you trusted me to like fill this seat for just and stumble through the best I could.
Your tongue again. How do you enunciate with it stuck in your cheek like that? I don't understand how that works. Talented guy. Hey, need to remind y'all to follow the show on Twitter at DJournalMemo. Drop us an email to send us your snide remarks or compliments or what have you. It's memo@journalinc.com. Of course, you can listen to us, memo.djournal.com or on iTunes or on most of your major podcast apps. And I'm on the Twitter at Brad Locke. Scott's on the Twitter
at M. Scott Morris. Tell your parents about us.
Yeah, please do.
Because Brad's pretty old. Yeah, come on, appeal to them.
Not as old as you.
Not as old as me.
Speaking of iTunes, certainly encourage anybody who's listening to us through other means to find us in the iTunes store or in podcast apps by kind of listening that way. It'll allow you to subscribe for free, but that'll get you new episodes sent right to you. And also by, you know, kind of listening mobily, you know, it's kind of a lot easier to
take it with you.
Take it with you on the go.
I like podcasts when I'm flying. When I'm on the plane, I found that's the best way to kind of pass the time.
Yeah. Or if you're doing any tedious task, like I was doing dishes the other night, listening to another podcast, and it makes it
driving,
go by.
That's exercising.
True. Mowing the yard, but you got to turn up way high. So yeah. I'm not sure if I can recommend that.
Yeah, it's not good for the ears.
Almost that time of year again.
It's getting there.
Don't remind me.
Time starts. You've already been sneezing, but this time starts sneezing again. Time for pollen.
I want winter to keep going.
I'm ready for summer.
I'm all about fall and winter. Spring and summer can...
I'm ready for baseball.
I am ready for baseball. I'm ready for that. Pitchers and catchers have reported, Chris.
They're here.
Sure are.
Here we go again.
Excuse me. My pillow is calling.
All right, sorry, Scott.
No, actually, we have to work.
You just keep basking in that national championship Alabama just won. That'll carry you through the summer.
You know, I'm sure. I've been trained by Saban. I'm already anxious about next year. You know, what can I do to be a better fan for next year?
Just try to enjoy it, because Nick Saban won't. So somebody needs to.
Hey, you mentioned the scene section a minute ago. What else is going on this weekend? I know Derek's out to kind of go through it today.
I meant to mention that. We got the Oxford Film Festival going on, continuing today, and there's going to be a special. Thacker Mountain Radio broadcast at 6 p.m. You can visit oxfordfilmfest.com for more info. And coming Monster Jam at 2 and 7:30 at Bancor South Arena. So if you want to go see giant trucks that are very loud, bring your earplugs.
He's not joking. I went to my first one, and I didn't take earplugs. They could have charged me a whole lot more than they charged me. I think they charged me like $3. I would have paid 10.
Yeah. I went to one over in at the Lee County Agri Center 4 or 5 years ago with my son, and he had a ball. He loved it, so.
Yeah, my son enjoyed it. They also had, when I was there a couple years ago with my son, they had trick motorcycle guys doing jumps and ramps and stuff, and that was amazing.
Yeah. So check out those events perhaps and see what else is going on in today's scene section. And now we're done. Done with the show. Done for the week. We'll be back Monday. Derek, I guess, will be back Monday.
Yeah, quality will return.
Well, hey, thanks again, Scott.
Yeah, again, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Y'all have a great weekend. See you next week.